Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of the Misunderstood Black Girl Podcast with your host, Ms. Zaria Anye. I love this applause button. Y'all can hear it 50 million times in every episode because I love it so bad. But happy Women's History Month, and today is actually March 8th, so happy International Women's Day. Shout out to all my ladies. In honor of the month, I actually wanted to make this episode and my next couple of episodes very, like, woman-focused. And since I missed February, like, I didn't get to upload anything during Black History Month, I wanted to make this episode about black women because I love y'all so bad. Y'all are the best. So, really, the inspiration behind today's episode came to me about a year ago, which is kind of crazy that, you know, when you have ideas and then, like, you let them sit and then, like, you know, you get time to build upon them and really, like, see them come into motion. It's crazy. But, yeah, every time. So, actually, okay, so I had this, I got the idea for the podcast and I started thinking of, like, episodes, you know, topics for episodes. And I was talking to my ex, like, my ex-girlfriend about, what were we talking about? I think it was virginity and body count. And I was telling her how I don't succumb to or subscribe to all that bullshit because it's just a social construct created by men in order to shame women and to, you know, make them feel bad about not being virgins, bad about having a high body count, good about being virgins, good about having a low body count. It's just all bullshit. So, of course, she disagreed with me because that's what she does. She was a Gemini, so, of course. We had a little debate, and it really just, like, planted this seed in my head because, of course, me being a psychology, you know, student, I always want to get to the root of things. And I feel like the root of a lot of things is hate. And I feel like America hates women, specifically in this episode, black women. And we're gonna get into that. And it's crazy. I know what y'all are thinking because I know somebody going, damn, that's so harsh. Hate is a strong word. But that is the truth. And every day I find more and more evidence that proves my point. So let's get into it. Especially in the last year. Like when I say, because I kept, like, you know, when I was getting my thoughts together for the episode, I just found so many instances of, like, women just being bashed and dragged in the media for the littlest, stupidest, most minute nonsense shit, or just shit that's not even their fault. Like, but of course, you want to blame the black woman because, bitch, everything's our fault, apparently. Everything. I mean, down to Keke Palmer, her baby daddy, Sexy Red, Reese Tees. Oh, my God, that Reese Tees shit, y'all really pissed me off with that one. I mean, Angela Bassett at the Oscars and so much more. Like, y'all really been acting a fool lately when it comes to us women, specifically black women. And that's why it pisses me off so bad, and I wanted to make a episode solely about it because it's always, you know, protect black women and support women and girls, but it's like, no, y'all are mean and hateful and rude and just mean-spirited and unkind and jealous and all the bad things. But then somehow it's still my fault. Okay, but okay, we're gonna get into it. So yeah, the whole Reese Tees thing, I want to start off with that because I just saw something else that further pissed me off about the whole situation. So if y'all don't know, y'all should know, Reese Tees is a TikToker who basically told a 50-part story about her falling in love and marrying a pathological liar. Like, that man lied from the day she met him to the day they broke up, just lied. To this day, he's still doing interviews and just lying. He's just a liar. And so she told her story, brilliant storyteller, may I add. Like, she told that story, and I mean, so everybody was tuned in. She got, I don't even know how many views, like millions, I think, millions of views, hundreds of thousands of followers, like so many people. It was going viral all over TikTok, Twitter, Facebook. It was everywhere. But of course, the internet can never let something just be what it is. You always have to do the most. And the amount of hate she got was ridiculous. Like, mind you, she started off the story. Like, she very clearly said multiple times, like, y'all, I knew something wasn't right. I knew I was being dumb. I knew I just wanted to be with somebody. Like, this wasn't a good choice. I know it now. I low-key knew it then, but I didn't want to face it. But I know it now. I'm just telling y'all because it's a crazy story. And also so y'all know what a pathological liar looks like. And so y'all don't get caught up like I did. But, of course, y'all still found a way to talk about this lady because – one thing, she already said she was dumb. So y'all can't call her dumb, even though some people still did call her dumb and stupid. So, of course, y'all went to her weight and her face and just her overall appearance. I mean, I saw people talking about why would you even believe he's a senior VP when you don't even look like you would be a senior VP's wife? Like, what the fuck does that mean? Bitch, you don't either. Now what? Like, what? Like, why? But what does that even have to do with the story? Like, why are her looks even the topic of discussion right now when we should all be banding together trying to find Legion ass and lock him up? Because why are you out here lying to the public like this? You are scary. You are dangerous. And then what makes it even worse, I don't even think this is what makes it even worse. That was just the ice cream. This is the whipped cream that I'm going to give y'all the cherry. So the whipped cream is, of course, Charlemagne the God, or what Webby call him? Charlemagne. If y'all have not seen that Webby interview with the Breakfast Club, please watch it because he got on all the ass. But yes, that is very fitting because he's so bitch made. He got on that funky ass, stupid, whack ass radio show, which, side note, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the day. I'm actually like praying and sitting by and hoping for the day that the Breakfast Club, the Shade Room, Neighborhood Talk, Spiritual World, whatever that shit's called, Gossip in the City, all of that shit, I cannot wait for all of that shit to be dismantled, taken down, pages disabled, no more. Like, it's so, like, it's just, like, blogs, quote-unquote blogs. I wish I had a camera so y'all could see these air quotes I'm doing. Filled with ignorant-ass people who I'm convinced, like, purposely misunderstand the post or purposely, like, try to, like, just purposely dense. Like, you know this is not what she meant when she posted that. But, of course, y'all in the comments just going to be ignorant and stupid. And then, of course, the blog itself just be posting stuff that y'all know are going to get people riled up. Y'all know it's going to get people just being negative and mean and hateful. So I don't even know why y'all posted, but y'all supposed to be uplifting the black community, supporting the black community. Oh, please. I just can't wait for all that shit to just be dismantled. Like, it's so unproductive and annoying and ignorant. But anyway, back to the point at hand. Charlemagne Funky Ass got on that little radio show and somehow summed up the whole 50-part series to basically her weight. He summed it all up to a joke about how big her back is. Like, what the fuck? And, of course, Jess Hilarious with her wide-ass mouth just he giggled and agreed right along with him. And I'm not going to give her too much light on this podcast because I personally think she is a mean-spirited, unfunny person. And I don't care what nobody says. I do think she's transphobic. And she's transphobic. She doesn't have a kind word, gesture, or thought for a trans woman. And that means you're trans. And I feel like people, I feel like people get misconstrued when you say, because phobia means a fear, right? But it's also, and this is not a textbook definition, this is just in my opinion, I feel like homophobia, transphobia, fat phobia, it's also you being outwardly just mean and outwardly just careless, and you don't have any, like, it's one thing to not interact with this group of people, you know, like, you don't have any friends that are trans or that are gay or that are plus size, or, you know, you just don't find yourself, but it's another to every time someone brings them up, you just have, like, negative ass shit to say or mean shit to say. Nothing good to say, just hateful and mean. That means you're some type of phobic, in my opinion. Like, that's just what it gives. And she's definitely transphobic. And when I say America hates women, trans women are included because they probably get the most hate. So, yeah. But back to Risa Tisa, because I keep getting off topic. Back to Risa Tisa. Yeah, I didn't like that. Because this woman just told this great story. You know, like, she, a Tyler Perry-worthy story. And somehow, y'all just bypassed everything she said and went straight to her looks and her weight. And why would he even be with her? And, just hatred. Just hatred. Pure hatred. Just mean and hateful. And it made no sense. And then, here's the cherry that I was telling you about. Because that was the ice cream, the gay out of whipped cream. Here's the cherry. She just got signed to a major talent agency, basically. And of course, everybody started acting dense and ignorant.
Well, why she get signed? She doesn't even do anything special. She's just a TikToker. All she did was tell one.
Like, what? Like, that lady did not just tell a 50-part story in chronological order. Didn't leave out any details and sprinkled them in like breadcrumbs, like at the right. You know, sometimes people give you too many details at once. They don't give you enough. So now you got follow-up questions in the comments. No, she gave them perfect chef's kiss. Like, that. That was a very, like, Lifetime movie script. Like, very, like, Netflix movie script. So I understand why. Because it proves that she has the potential to be a storyteller. She has the potential to actually, like, gather her thoughts and concisely, you know, put them into a story or a script or something. And I don't understand, like, everybody's always talking about we need more black movies and more black TV shows and more black writers and more this, this, and this. And then we get it, but it's not packaged and wrapped up in the way that you want it, or it's not happening to you. Now it's bad and they don't deserve it and we don't need it. Like, please. But here's another point. It's looking like people who build their livelihood, and that's why I say it's hatred, because people who build their livelihood off of their desirability are mad. They're the ones that are pissy that a quote-unquote undesirable fat black woman got a good deal, because she signed to one of like the top acting agencies. She's like one of the top three you can get signed to. Like, that's the one everybody, you know, one of the ones everybody strives for. Like, let's just call it spade a spade. Y'all are mad. Because, one, it didn't happen to you. And two, you know how they're like, oh, if it's not me, I want it to be you. But really what they mean is I want it to be somebody who is, you know, just like me or in the image of me. And she's not in the image of y'all. She's in her own lane. And y'all are mad. Of course. So let's just call it spade a spade. Like, it's not, oh, she doesn't deserve it. Oh, what? No. Like, because she does deserve it. She literally just proved herself and had us all tuned in. Like, when I say I was watching that 50-part series while doing my skincare, getting ready, I mean, in class, like, she had us all tuned in. So, if she deserves it. She's proved herself. Y'all are just mad. And you know what I also think it really boils down to? Because I always tell, I always tell my friends this. I really think it boils down to shame. Our society and community has this thing with shame, in that when we make bad decisions, they want us to feel bad and to cower and to never speak of it. Like, to just pretend it doesn't happen, it didn't happen, or pretend you didn't do it, or to just walk around with your head down. And when you don't, they're mad at you. And that's why they hate Sexy Red, they hate Risa, and they hate Corinne Steffens, because they're not ashamed of the things that they did and went through, and they shared that with the world. Like, and y'all bashed them. And I mean, poor Corinne Steffens. I mean, y'all call her everything but a child of God. I just read her memoir. I think I just finished it about a week or two ago. And it was really, really good. It's called Confessions of a Video Vixen. I highly recommend it. My friend Kahala got it for me for Valentine's Day. And it was one of my favorite gifts. So shout out to her. I love her so much. But yeah, it was a really, really good book. And it gave me, and that's why I love memoirs and autobiographies, because it gives you like a new understanding and perspective on the author and also on yourself and just, you know, the world depending on what they went through and experienced. Because once I really read the book, I realized me and Corinne kind of had very similar childhoods and very similar thoughts and feelings throughout our childhood and early adulthood. And now I, because I find myself making some of the decisions that she made throughout the book, and I'm like, well, you know, and I ask myself, like, why am I doing this? What is making me act like this? And it's because of, you know, the things that I've been through, the things that I've seen, the things that I haven't seen, and just having a lack of self-love and self-respect and self-esteem. Because she also, she suffered a childhood and early adulthood of abuse at the hands of her mother and her first husband. And so that led to her having a lack of self-esteem, self-respect, and self-love. And that's why she made the choices that she made. You see, but of course, people just buy, like, I'm pretty sure for some of y'all, that just, like, flew right over your head, and you just Googled her and looked her up on YouTube and just automatically, oh, she's a hoe. Oh, she slept with this person, this person, this person. Like, oh, she's a hoe. Oh, she just gets around. She, like, that's all, you know, like, and I can't believe that she put out the, and when you read the book, like, it's very graphic. Like, it's very, like, you read it and you're like, how could somebody do this to a child? How could somebody do this to their wife, like, while she's carrying your child? But how, and I don't understand how people bypassed all that and just remember who she slept with and where she had gone and the married men she was hanging out with, when there's a reason she ended up here. Like, you don't just end up at point B. There has to be a point A, you know, to get you, that brings you here. And Tyra Banks really disappointed me when she interviewed her, because she was just so mean and so nasty to Corinne. Like, you could just tell. One thing, I'm not even going to get into that. That's a whole separate episode. But Tyra Banks is a mean girl. Like, she's a mean girl, for sure. And it really came out in that episode. And what I heard was, because, you know, I do my research, what I heard was one of the men that Corinne mentioned in her book, at that time of the interview, I think, or when the book came out, Tyra was dating him. I don't know who for sure, because she used, like, pseudonyms or fake names for some of them. Like, she didn't outwardly say who some of the men were. They had nicknames. So I don't know who he was, but they said that, yeah, her man was mentioned in the book, and she felt some type of way about it. So when Corinne came for her interview, she was just mean and nasty and bitchy. And you can tell that she wanted her to feel ashamed or bad about what she wrote in the book, because she kept bringing up her child. Like, well, what do you think your son's going to say, and his friends and the parents and the PTA? And that's how you know when somebody wants you to be ashamed, because they bring up, like, your kids and your parents and your family and your friends and just all the people around you, thinking that you saying, like, what is your mom going to think, is going to do something to me, especially when I'm a grown adult. And my, you know, like, me and my mother are two, you know, like, you are your own entity. And I'm sure most normal people, when they have kids, realize that their kids are going to grow up and maybe one day, you know, become anything, a stripper, a lawyer, a murderer, anything. And I just have to, like, those are your choices. And they, you know, it is what it is. So I don't, and that's how you know when somebody's trying to shame you. If you're thinking, like, is this bitch trying to make me feel ashamed about what I did? Listen. As soon as she say, well, what does your mom think? Or what would your family think? What would your boyfriend think? Like, I don't know. And I really don't give a fuck, because whether they think it's good or bad, that's not going to stop it or make me feel bad about what I'm doing, because it's already done. Yeah. And it really pissed me off when I watched the interview. And I really, y'all should really go watch the interview and really watch, I think it's Black Femininity TV on YouTube, also did a video about Corinne and just all the things she went through after she put the book out. But it really pissed me off that she kept bringing up her son, because it's like, how do you know that this is gonna make him see me in a bad light? Like, why would you think that me telling my story is going to make my son think that I am less than, or, you know, make him look at me different as his mother? Because I know me personally, knowing somebody's shit from A to B to C and how they ended up this way makes me feel better. So now I know you're not just a reckless person. You didn't just go out here and do these things because you, that's what you wanted to do. Like you just woke up and wanted, no, there was something in you that was broken, or, you know, a void that you needed to fill, like, and you just needed to heal. And that's, you know, and that's, and she was just fixing herself the only way she knew how. So, yeah, I think it's important for her son to know that. Of course, like, I'm pretty sure he didn't read the book when he was in fucking elementary school. Duh. But, and I hate that people try to make it seem like kids be so in the know. Because when I was in elementary school, I for sure, like, most, a lot of the shit that was going on in the media, I didn't really, like, pay attention to, or I couldn't fully grasp, like, what was going on. Because I remember when people talk about, like, oh, yeah, back in 2016, when such and such did such and such, like, I remember seeing it, like, on Instagram or hearing people talk about it on the bus, but I didn't really fully grasp what was going on because I wasn't really old enough. I didn't really care. Like, we was talking about the crossover with Victorious and iCarly. Like, that's what we was worried about. We didn't care about what Kim Kardashian was doing on Twitter. We didn't give a fuck. We were in fifth grade. Like, that wasn't even the thing to be worried about. So, yeah, I think people give kids just, like, a little too much credit. And they try to use them to shame you. And the same thing with Sexy Red. I mean, she spoke about all the bad, not all, like, they just make bad decisions back to back. But, you know, like, in a lifetime, you especially between the ages of, I think, like, or I want to say, like, 18 to 25, you could just do, like, stupid shit. Like, you might, you know, like, you fuck too many people, fuck not enough, fuck in some weird places, go some weird places, do some weird jobs. Like, you just live a life. And they hate when you're not ashamed of the life that you live. And every time she says something, opens her mouth. I mean, even after she just had her baby and the picture she posted in the hospital, y'all spent all day bashing. And it's funny because the picture she posted in the hospital, I was trying to find, like, I'm zooming all in the pictures. I'm trying to find what was wrong. I'm thinking maybe y'all didn't like her legs. But I'm like, how? Like, what are y'all, old? Literally, old ladies. Like, and I just keep bouncing from thing to thing. But it's okay because I feel like y'all are keeping up with me. But I feel like that's one thing. Also, like, that's how I know when I'm starting to sound like a bitter old bitch, like a granny, because you start to, these young girls in this generation, like, what the fuck are you, 50? Like, please. Girls, like, y'all are so uptight and, like, you know, there's a, you know, like, sometimes it's okay to be serious, it's okay to be unserious. There needs to be a balance. But y'all, and that's also these young black girls, y'all keep, like, that's all I really see on my Twitter and my TikTok. Like, y'all constantly, y'all parents let y'all wear wigs and smoke vapes and get tattoos. Like, y'all literally sound like my grandma. Like, sound like somebody's nana. Mind you, you're 27. Like, why the fuck do you care what the kids are doing? But boom, you're mostly bashing the young black girls. Because I don't see nobody talking about what Savannah and Tristan and Connor are doing, what their parents letting them do. Nope, I don't see nobody talking about it. But all y'all want to talk about is how these kids got a Mary's on, and she got a 30-inch wig, and 12mm lashes. Like, what? Who cares? Who cares? They're kids. Let them be kids. Like, I'm, especially because I'm 19, like, I could never, like, find myself talking about 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds. They're kids. I'm still technically a kid, but they're really kids. Like, what the fuck do I look like talking about y'all? I am nobody's nana. That is none of my business. Do you, boo? But yeah, back to what I was saying. Yeah, and actually, while we on this, the kids, I know y'all seen Alabama Barker cosplaying a light-skinned black woman. I know y'all seen it on TikTok. I know y'all have. Because I just saw, I want to say, like, 2 days ago, this girl was talking about, I don't know, why y'all keep talking about Alabama Barker? She not doing nothing. Like, and that's what I hate. I hate the black women who defend the haters, the people who suck our meat, steal our style, personality, and dialect, yet are nowhere in sight when it's time to defend, speak up, support the black community. Don't really give a fuck about black people. And that's why I don't want to say I don't like Alabama Barker, but I just don't really care for her. Because you just use a black stylist to slap them frontals on your head when you don't even need... Okay. Because I'm feeling like I'm about to go on another tangent. But I don't understand why these white girls have these wear frontals nowadays. Like, what happened to what they call tape-ins and microlinks? Like, why doesn't nobody want to be Tiana Mo... What's her name? Tiana Mojo? Monago? Why does nobody want to be her anymore? Look like that. Look like yourself. Be yourself. Jesus. But yeah, and Alabama's starting to look like Jody. If we being if we being for real, she's starting to look just like Miss Jody Woods. Like, it's starting to get scary. Actually, like, terrifying. And that's what pisses me off. Like, y'all cosplay as black women, don't support the community at all, and then while y'all are cosplaying, people actually mistake y'all for black women. I mean, look at, if y'all watch Now That See Me, Miss Ferrari, everybody thought she was a light-skinned black woman. Nope. Mm-mm. No, ma'am. That lady is Caucasian from the mountains of Caucasus. Yes. Yeah, I just don't understand why nobody wants to be themselves and yet hate us for being ourselves and for not being shameful of who we are and what we've done. And, you know, the things that we've been through. Like, it's actually crazy. But it's actually kind of, I don't want to say it's fun because it saddens me, but it actually motivates me to know that, like, what Nikki say, there's corporate giants and machines coming up against me. Like, y'all really hate my guts. And not just, you know, me personally, but just, like, you know, me, us, black women. Like, y'all are really trying to destroy us, trying to make us feel less than, trying to make us feel inadequate or make us feel, like, too much or too less. And it never works. It never works. Because we always persevere, we always prevail, we always eat you bitches up, we always set a new trend. What? We always drop some new lingo. Now you bitches saying on my soul. Shout out to Cash. That's what I'm saying. The same bitches that'll turn around and call her ghetto and da 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 this and da 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 that still gonna say on my soul, on the dead homies, on God in heaven. So yeah, y'all hate us. Y'all hate to love us. That's what I should call America. That's what I should call the episode. So I was entitled America Hates Black Women, but I should call it America Loves to Hate Black Women. Because y'all secretly love us. Y'all do. Because we are naturally authentic, real, and raw. And that's just not something that you can, you know, you might be able to slap some box braids in that thin-ass hair. You might be able to throw on some gold bangles and, you know, put on a little Telfar bag. But you just you don't have the authenticity. It doesn't run through your veins. So it'll never be real. It'll never be the same. So, yeah, to my black girls, continue to be you, do you, whether it be too much, too less, do your shit. Because they gonna find something to talk about anyway. Just do it. Because, I mean, it was talking about... yeah, I get so sidetracked. I think I have ADHD, honestly. But, yeah, they was talking about Glorilla and the way she talked when she, you know, first came out. And now everybody curbing on curbing. It's cute now. It's hee-hee-hee. That's what I'm saying. Like, you hate it. What's the Sour Patch Kids? like, motto... First they're sour, then they're sweet. Yeah, that's you bitches. First you hate it, then you love it. But yeah, I think I'm going to end this episode right here because I'm hungry. It's already 5. I need to go eat. Yeah, so we're going to close out. And in honor of International Women's Day and Women's History Month, I want to shout out 3 of my favorite business women to close out the episode. So first, I want to give a shout out to my hairstylist, Miss Azaria Rose, or @_RoseStyled you on Instagram. She is the only person I let play in my head on this campus. Like, if she can't do my braids, if she can't do my hair, I don't really want it done, because the service is always great. The hair always comes out great. She is such a sweet and kind person. Her energy is just amazing. Like, whether we talk during the appointment or we don't, I always just leave feeling great. And my hair always looks amazing. She just did these feed-ins for me for my spring break trip, and they look so good. I wish y'all could see them. Like, so FSU students, if you're looking for a braider, a sew-in, a quick weave, men, she does men styles, tap in with @_.rosestylegu on Instagram. Next, I want to shout out my nail tech, Miss Olivia, or Acrylics by Adore. When I tell y'all, I refuse to go to another nail tech because I know I'm not going to get the same customer service. I'm not going to get the same retention that I get with her. Like, my nails always look great. Like, they always look amazing. The shape, the design. She always has cool charms, and she's always willing to like try new designs, stuff outside the box. And my nails always last over a month. Like, I've gotten my nails done by her, I want to say like 5 times, and I've never had a nail like break prematurely, like 2 weeks in. None of that. Like, they don't be lifting. No, these bitches, I actually have to, like soak them off. Like, I remember she did my nails for my birthday, and them nails were on, I want to say, almost until, like, September. Like, I had to remove them because I was moving back into my dorm, and they were too long for me to be moving boxes and stuff. But, yeah, that's, I will never go to another nail tech. So, if you are looking for a nail tech on campus, book with her, Acrylics by Adore, on Instagram. And last but certainly not least, my girl, Kahala, or @perfect.plates.inc with 4 C's on Instagram. She is a chef on campus. And when I tell her, her plates are good as fuck. Like, that's some good ass food. Like, y'all are not going to want to eat in the calf. You're not going to want to eat in the grill. You're not going to want McAllister's, Chick-fil-A, none of that. Like, you're just going to want her food because it's so good. Like, that's the kind of food you eat and it puts you to sleep. Like, you just got to eat that and lay down. So yeah, please tap in with her. She drops her plates on Wednesdays and Fridays, and she also accepts pre-orders. So yeah, you can DM her on her page @perfect.plates.inc with 4 C's if you have any questions or concerns. And I highly, strongly recommend the Cajun chicken or shrimp Alfredo. Either one you get is super good, but that's my favorite thing off the menu. It's amazing. So yeah, that's the end of today's episode. To all my women, especially my Black women, I love you. I see you. To all my misunderstood Black girls, I love you. I see you. I understand you. And yeah, misunderstood Black girl is out.